This is the Uncover You podcast, and I'm Eva Berunius. I'm here to help you navigate your transformational journey so you can experience the you underneath the conditioning and unconscious beliefs. You always find the show notes over at selfmasteryandbeyond.com. Let's get to the core of things. Here's today's episode. Hi there, and welcome to an episode that is coming to you from an outdoor patio, kind of in the jungle in Costa Rica. So if you're picking up on background sounds or noises that are normally not here in this podcast, it is because there are actually other background sounds that are usually here when I record. So today I wanted to come on and talk about immature relationships with our emotions and different expressions of them, different signs for them. And when I say immature relationships, I say that without judgment. It's just factual. It's a way to relate to our emotions that could evolve, meaning there is more potential, there's more growth. So it's not that it's wrong. It's not that you're to blame. You were probably not taught to do it differently. I know I wasn't. And this is something that is kind of hard. There's hard work. It's hard earned kind of insights to see that these are immature ways and that there is a different way to really be with our emotions. When you learn a more mature way of being with your emotions, it's going to change your inner world. It's going to require a lot less energy and conflict internally to have this new relationship. And that will, of course, ripple out into your outside world, into your relationships, into how you kind of stand up for yourself and what you're feeling, and how you're able to be with your emotions instead of vomiting them out or blaming others for having them. But it starts with you, right? It starts internally to see this dynamic that is going on inside of you. I sometimes think about this as like Russian dolls. When you start to venture into yourself, you will start to, just like when you're going in a microscope or looking through a microscope and you think it's one thing, and then you see that one thing consists of different things. It's got smaller building blocks, and they're interacting and working together and having a relationship. And I see this again and again when we go into our inner world, into our psyche, into our conscious or unconscious mind, that we look at things as one problem. Like, oh, I have an immature relationship with my emotions, for example. And then when we start to go inside, we might find that it consists of different building blocks. It consists of different aspects of you that are in conflict with each other. So instead of an harmonious inner world, they're kind of fighting each other. Just like your white blood cells, just like your immune system would be fighting a virus or something going on that is not good for the body. So in the same way, like in your psyche, there's been a conflict created. And when we go in and put our attention here, put our awareness here, then that can start to heal and align so that they're actually working harmoniously together. And this is such a good analogy for our relationship with our emotions, because a conflicting relationship with our emotions, an immature relationship with our emotions, have often been created out of that we feel conflicted, that a certain aspect of you feel conflicted about having certain emotions. That will have come from conditioning, from how you saw your parents carrying themselves with their emotions and how they treated your emotions. And then we internalize that behavior, right? Oh, I shouldn't be sad. I shouldn't be angry. I shouldn't be too loud or too happy. Or maybe you grew up somewhere where there was like a lot of emotional eruption and that felt unsafe. So you started to withdraw from that and say like, no, we're shutting that down. That's not a good way of being in the world. I don't want to be that way. Whatever your conditioning was, whatever you saw, chances are that at the root, the problem is that you never were taught how to actually be with your emotions. And this is something that I find like is one of the most important keys when I work with clients one-on-one or in my group programs, to start maturing that relationship with our emotions. And we'll go much deeper into that in this episode. Like, how do you even do that? And I was like, I got so fired up when I was sitting with this and planning this episode. So I was also like, let's do a free session around this. And this time, I'm going to invite women or anyone that doesn't identify as a man. So non-binary, or if you find yourself being in a non-conformative gender identification, you're so welcome. And men, there will be other things for you coming a little further on. So you're not forgotten. This is super important for you as well. But the reason I'm inviting the women to this is there are slightly different conditioning because of gender, right? And we can see that as completely unfair and just stereotypical and generalized. And yes, it is. And it's been happening. Like, you've been projected onto because of your gender. So in this session, I want to break that down a little bit. Maybe some of the things that women has been projected upon when it comes to feeling their emotions, which is slightly different than from what men has been projected upon around feeling their emotions. So just to be able to like kind of dive in and really go deep and a little bit narrow in there of addressing these beliefs that we are carrying, I want to do it this way this time. So if you're a woman or anyone who doesn't identify as a man, you're so welcome to come and invite your friends. Or if you're a man listening to this, maybe you know a woman or a friend that would like to come to this. So just send them the link. I will leave it here. And we will have an amazing 1 hour session where we look at the old conditioning and also really start to find the skills of how to feel your emotions in a mature way. Because what is on the other side of this is really, it's power, it's aliveness. So there are certain things that we never got to experience or understand because of this immature relationship with emotions. Like, instead we believed these lies about emotions, that they made us weak, that we weren't supposed to be that way, that we were broken, that we were needy, that we were clingy, that we were too much, or maybe that we were emotionally distant and like cold, whatever it was. So when you've been believing these lies, like in being cut off from this power of feeling, you are missing out on your full potential. And that's really what I want you to experience in this session, that there is power in feeling. Let's shed those old lies, what feeling your emotion is, and really get to the truth and have you have an embodied experience of that. So we will be practicing embodied feeling, what I believe that every toddler child should learn from the start, what we can embody and model for a new world, a new generation with this, which is happening out there. But it's never too late for you to gain these skills. So if you want to practice a mature, more powerful way to feel your emotions without being victim by them or without believing the lies that have surrounded them, come join me. Happening now on Sunday, if you're listening to this episode when it comes out. And even if you can't be there live, I leave recording up for a few days. So register. That means you will get it. So now, let's look at four signs or expressions of immature relationship with your emotions so that you maybe can recognize them inside of you and knowing what to do to get to shift that relationship and mature your way of relating to emotions. So the first one that I want to mention, and just to be clear, these are not the only ones. These are common ones. But you might find variations of this or something else. So this episode is really also an invitation for you to just put your attention here as you're listening. Like, what is your relationship with your emotions? What are strategies that your protector part has created to not feel, to have an uncomfortable, painful experience internally with your emotions or externally with others blaming you, leaving you, judging you because of what you're feeling? Because this is usually how they were created, right? So let's look at these four examples of immature expressions. The first one is an internal rejection of what you're feeling. I shouldn't feel this way. I get anxious and maybe even panicked for feeling this way. There's a sense that something is wrong with me for having this emotion or having this state. I will get stuck in it. Might be fear, right? I might get sucked down into this black hole, this void of just depression or despair or grief and sadness, and I won't be able to get out. And this might be conscious thoughts, but it might also be more unconscious sensations or experiences that you might need to do some digging to get to. But on top, on the surface, it might be more like anxiety about feeling a certain thing. It can even be, right, anxiety about anxiety. Oh no, I'm feeling anxious again. Increase the anxiety. There's also other ways of rejecting what you're feeling, right? That sense that I need to be fixed if I feel this way. Okay, let's go out for a run. It will make you feel better. Let's think about everything I'm grateful for. Let's go meditate. And all of those are good things, right? Exercising your body, taking care of it, like, excellent. And if you know yourself so well that you know that this is actually like more of a chemical thing, I just need to get my exercise in and my chemistry will shift and change. Beautiful. But for many of us, we use those tools as a way, like, out of fear, because we're afraid of feeling what we're feeling. And the more you practice embodied self-mastery, you will recognize the difference between the two. Okay, no, this is like, let's not overthink this. This is nothing big to be processed or felt. It's just a matter of, I'm tired. I need to get in my body right now. I need to get the exercise done. I need some more sleep, whatever it is. But when it's coming from a sense of like, I need to make this go away because I can't stand how I'm feeling right now. And sometimes that is also a fear, right, of what that internal state will bring. Maybe in your relationships or in your daily life. Like, oh my God, if I feel this way, I won't be able to keep up the good spirits or manage someone else's bad mood. So this is a problem. this will potentially be dangerous or destructive or something bad will happen because I feel this way. Or maybe I will hurt someone. I will lash out on someone. And then I will feel guilty and ashamed for being a bad person, whatever it is. So there are many ways then of like that rejection of what we're feeling can show up. It can be out of fear. I mean, it's mostly out of fear, but the fear can be about just having the experience of that emotion or what will happen if we have that emotion as a consequence of that emotion that we kind of project onto the future because we've had that experience happening. So this is number one, rejection of what you're feeling. I shouldn't feel this way. Something is wrong with me for feeling this way. Or, okay, I need to feel better right now. Number two, second expression, second sign of an immature relationship with your emotions. It's kind of going in the opposite direction. It's vomiting everything out, vomiting everything you're feeling, and often with a story attached to it. So while the first example was more about internalizing, it's like keeping the emotions in or a lid over them or kind of contracting around them and like almost shame for having them. Now in this scenario, we're just like externalizing them and like blah, letting them erupt and explode all over the place. Usually also with this sense of others needing to take responsibility for them or needing to help us with them. Oh my God, just getting home from work and this is terrible and someone just said this to me and just like venting that all into the space and kind of expecting someone else to make you feel better, to pick you up, to help you sort through that. So there's also just like a sense of and a lack of boundaries with yourself and a lack of like holding that space for yourself to feel that. No, others needs to get involved. Other needs to witness what you're feeling. Other needs to like kind of carry this for you. So it might show up like that example, just getting home from work and something has happened. Now all the frustration with it is just like pah, coming out. Or just lashing out on other people. I fucking hate you. This is terrible. Bah. And it might also be like with sadness or grief or a depressive state that it's just like bah, coming out as a big blanket or as a big eruption and a sense of victimhood. Okay? This all just happened to me and it's terrible. And now you need to do something about it. Because there is a difference between actually being witnessed in what you're feeling, right? And we practice this in the embodied feeling. Like, it's a beautiful thing, especially if you've carried shame around what you're feeling, to actually just be held, meaning someone just being there while you're moving through it. But the difference is that there's no expectation of what they are supposed to do or even that they should be there for you. That's more of a consensual thing. Like you ask them to hold that space. You know what? I've had the most terrible day. Is it okay if I just like cry and cuss and shake in front of you for a while just to move this? It would be so powerful for me to be a witness. And if not, I'm just going to do it by myself, you know. But there's not an expectation and there's less story. Like we don't have to make anyone else look bad for this. Like someone made me feel this way or someone did this to me. See how mean they are. See, they should be punished, right? I've had such a bad day and we want everyone to kind of agree on that. So that's the difference, like taking that responsibility versus expecting others to do that for us. So on to sign or expression number three. This one is a little similar to or often connected with number two, but it's a sense of blaming others and circumstance for what we're feeling. So it's because you said this to me that I'm feeling this way. How could you make me feel that way? It's because of this traffic that I'm so stressed. It's because of this, this, and this. And all of that, there can be some truth to it, right? It might be what activated the emotional state inside of you, but there's this sense of wanting to put all the attention away from you and what you're feeling onto that outer thing and say, that's the problem. That's what needs to go away. And that doesn't mean, right, that it's your emotions that are the problem. There might not be a problem at all. It's just a very natural consequence. Someone saying something like that to you in a tone of voice that might have been mean or disrespectful, whatever it was, but it might also be something that activated a memory, right, from your past, from growing up. So now you're having an emotional reaction that is so much more than just about this situation. And if we're used to instead kind of internalize this, we put the blame on us often, right? Okay, it's me. I'm feeling too much. I can't trust what I'm feeling. And if we're externalizing, we're more like putting the blame outside and saying, you made me feel like this, you're a bastard or whatever. You're a bad person. But again, whether you're externalizing or internalizing it, it's the same response and the same root. Like a fear of feeling that way and not wanting to just like be with what you're feeling. Which is, of course, what keeps it there in place. This wound, this pattern that might keep showing up in your life again and again. That jealousy in your relationship, that sense of unworthiness or not like having the life that you want, not feeling the way you want. Like when you're not willing to process and feel what is there, then like it will stay. So opposite to what your mind will think will solve it, like I'm just going to distract from this, or I don't want to feel it again, or I'm going to go out for a run, or I'm going to blame this person. It is what keeps it intact. So to actually, if you get motivated enough and want to change and shift these patterns, at some point you will have to start to grow your capacity to feel. This is a key. This is super important. But it's only when you're ready, right? Up until then, your protector part will start, it will keep blaming others or vomiting out, or rejecting it, or feeling ashamed for having them. And they don't have to go away, right? It's about you growing into something bigger than them, holding the space for them to process this. So the sense of blaming others or circumstances for what we're feeling. Like, yeah, that might have been what triggered. And it might also be something very real and true that you might want to set a boundary with. And can you also be with what you're feeling? Or are you blaming someone else for what you're feeling because you can't stand feeling it inside of your body? Like you can't stand the sensations of it. And that is not a fixed, set in stone thing. Just because right now it feels like you can't stand it, doesn't mean that that's true for eternity. It just means that you've practiced a certain response to that emotion. And you've built protection mechanisms against feeling it. That is like rejecting it or have created a very, very tiny space to feel it in. And therefore, it feels overwhelming. That therefore, it feels nauseating. Therefore, it feels like you can't stand it. So again, this is just about like programming and neural pathways and what's been associated and connected in your inner world. that can be changed. You can create a different dream. You can dream a different dream. So that's number three. And now on to number four that I want to bring up today. And that is a disconnection from what you're feeling. Maybe that's a complete numbness, like I don't feel anything. Yeah, sure, you know, I'll get happy if my kids smile, or I get, you know, I like a good sunset. But there's not a big sense of like feeling a lot. So maybe it's like I don't feel anything, or I don't know what I'm feeling. I might be feeling things, but there's just like this, I don't know. I don't know what that, like, what that feeling really is about. And maybe even a sense that, like, it's not even on my radar. It's nothing that I really put my attention on. I'm busy with other things. I'm busy doing things. I'm busy, you know? And this is also an imbalanced way of being with your human, because probably you've put a lot of focus on thinking, on maybe analytical thinking, on logic, on doing, like the things that matters. And emotions for you hasn't been like a thing that has been developed or connected with. Again, nothing wrong with that. And there might not even be a big underlying emotion or trauma that wants to be felt because of it. It's just that it wasn't on the radar. It was like an aspect of you that hasn't been developed. And that's okay. You can live like that. Like, it's your choice. But if you have a sense that, but I want to feel more, I think I'm missing out on something, or like, I think I actually have this longing to get to know this aspect of me since I'm here. Since I'm here as a human, and apparently we have this emotional body, I think I would like to get to know that better. It's almost like eating a dish without any flavors, right? An emotion is really, it's not just about flavor, but it's really like the, like a current of life. When we are disconnected from them, we often also feel disconnected from other people, from a sense of ourselves that is just bigger than an idea about ourselves. So when you open this up, it's not just about emotions, it's about feeling life itself. So if you have a longing like that, but feeling numb and like you can't disconnect, it's going to be just a matter of start directing your attention there again and again. Like acknowledging like, okay, there's a door here. It might be closed right now, but just me knowing that there's a door and like reaching for the handle and just like opening it up a little bit and letting it know that, hey, I'm available. I want to start feeling this. Then things will start to move. So as I mentioned in the beginning, like these might sound like different expressions or different strategies that we've adapted to deal with emotions, but at the core, it's got like a shared root problem. And it is that we haven't grown, like we haven't created a container inside of us that is willing to feel emotions. Like the container is not big enough for it. It might be just like a tiny, tiny little closet space. And whenever anything shows up in there that is a little bigger than just a breeze of slight joy, then it feels overwhelming, because that emotion is going to take up all of that closet space, and it's just going to feel like it's going to explode through the walls. But if it was a bigger room and we've created a bigger space for emotions to be felt in, they do not feel so overwhelming. So the question for you right now is just like to start looking at, what, how big is this room that you have for feeling emotions? Does it constantly feel like it's overflowing and erupting out beyond that space? Or does it feel like there's a constant struggle of trying to keep them within those walls and never let anyone see that you're actually feeling a lot? Or a sense of that it's just like the space has just kind of shriveled and been forgotten and there's feels like there's nothing there. But all the same, the space is small. So just start to explore, what are the walls made up of? Are they made up of directing attention away from that room and onto other things, distractions, or feel better again, fix it, or maybe onto others and blaming them for what you're feeling? Or is there like an internal rejection, like there's something wrong with me for feeling this and this is not good, I'm broken, I'm worthless, I shouldn't be feeling this way, it means I haven't gotten far enough on my inner work, see? So just explore a bit, what is that inner room made up of? And right now what we're doing inside of my longer program, Being Me, we're working on expanding that room, that space. And we do that through like masculine and feminine archetype dynamics. And you don't have to use those words at all if you don't like them, because all they're doing is connecting you with an energy or these aspects of yourself. Protector parts that have been busy with doing and make sure that we don't have an uncomfortable experience, and wounded parts that usually haven't been allowed to process things. And on the other side of that, right, when there's not a bunch left to just heal and there's like feels like the whole world has been taken out by wounds, there's also just like the sense of how much room is feeling taking up in your life. Are you constantly directing your attention onto doing, onto thoughts, onto the future, the past? Or is there room for feeling in there? And if you've grown up anything like me, you've probably grown up in a culture where that is not kind of rewarded. There's not a lot of room for that. Instead, your attention will have been directed onto do your homework and get this thing done and clean your room and go do things, and onto thinking. So you haven't, again, had this modeled for you, what it means to give more room for what you're feeling. Meaning we've had a very like immature masculine culture, because the immature masculine is very different from the matured masculine, which give a lot of room for feeling. He's had a lot of power and he knows his power, and therefore he can be with anything that is being felt. So then the feminine expression of life itself just gets a lot of room, and they're dancing together. They are nourishing each other. They are giving each other just like joy and fuel, instead of being in that inner conflict that we talked about in the beginning. So this is just another way of talking about this, and it might be helpful for you, or it isn't, and then just leave it with feeling and thinking and what is your relationship with your emotions. And the last thing I want to just mention here is, sometimes if we look at this in the terms of attachment theory or different attachment styles. So someone that has grown up in a family or in a relationship dynamic where there was a lot of emotional eruption, like it didn't feel like you had your own space, your own agency, but someone was vomiting those emotions onto you and like really needed you and was kind of clinging to you and like, no, don't go too far and stay here and do this, and I need you to make me feel better, to make me feel safe. Then usually we create an avoidant attachment style. And it might not be that way, right? It can go in many different directions, but that is a common pattern. Meaning I don't feel safe around emotions, so I'm, or intimacy or connection, so I'm going to stay a bit over here. And my impulse is going to be to withdraw. And that is also usually something that then goes on in our inner world, not just in our external relationships. That means we are kind of trying to avoid that intimacy with ourselves, with our emotions, and therefore are also avoiding it in our relationships. And vice versa, right? With someone with a more anxious attachment style that is didn't receive enough safety, didn't receive enough attention, which there was never anything wrong with, right? It was a developmental stage that you just needed to be held before you could go into the world and explore. And if you didn't get enough of that and it didn't feel safe, then like a part of you is trying to have that need met, right? I'm going to try and get that now. So then usually we're like, the emotions are more like coming out and might be projected onto others. You don't make me feel this way. I don't have my needs met with you. Like, you need to do more of this. You're just walking away from me. Come back here. Like, I need you. Come closer. And that is, in a way, then the relationship that we have internally also. There's almost like this clinging to our emotional experience, and it's like right there, and everything we are feeling seems just true. And we're just like being tossed around in those waves instead of kind of surfing them and understanding them as another aspect of us, one of the many different aspects of us that can fluctuate and that can come and go, and we get to tune into it and just be with them. Because what is then a more mature relationship with our emotions? And I want to take this maybe in different levels depending on where you're at. And I mean, it's all going to start with being willing to hold space for emotional wounds, for things that you might have experienced and that hasn't been processed. So growing again that capacity, like maturing your inner masculine that is then willing to hold that space to show up with loving awareness and just say, yes, hey, this is welcome here. Like, bring it. I can take it. Let's feel this. Instead of running away, instead of trying to distract, you know, or telling us that we're wrong for feeling it. But now we have an internal dynamic where they're collaborating, where they're actually bringing like harmony and healing internally, then constantly recreating that wound over and over again, like that we're being turned away from, that someone is walking away from us, not listening, not giving us that attention. So you need to create this inner relationship then. And there are ways of doing that, right? Both embodied and through dreaming and connecting with these different aspects of you, the protector parts and the wounded parts. So if you're on a healing journey, that's really what it's going to be. And then after that, and I'm not saying that there's a clear before and after, oh, now you're all healed, things will keep showing up, right? But it's usually a more intense part of the journey where you're like, okay, I'm really getting into my core wounds right now and I'm really like healing. And after a while, the focus might be more of like living and being here and creating anew. And yeah, when things show up, they show up from the past, but I trust that they'll show up when it's time for them to be seen. So at that point, now a mature relationship with your emotion is again to be with what arises. Like, what is here right now? And to more than to react and to it and run with it or running away from it is to be there and hold that space and feel the sensations in your body. Maybe move with them, whatever it is. Sit and breathe with them, move them energetically, whatever is your way. And when they are processed, you can kind of, okay, so what does this mean? Are there any consequences of this? Are there any boundaries? Is there anything that wants to be communicated? Or do I want support around this? So, like, that is a choice. Like, you knowing that you can do that for yourself gives you more choices. Now it doesn't have to erupt out in just one way or be shut down or feeling like you're broken. No, you're like, oh, okay. There are emotional waves in my inner world, and they might feel really good and exciting and joyful and juicy, or they might feel really crunchy or fearful or contractive or tense, intense. Like, can you be with those sensations? And that's also going to be a matter of like regulating your nervous system and send a signal that this is okay, so that your animal doesn't just respond from survival state to the emotional states. So that's a reprogramming as well. And then your life will become so much richer. Also because you have a more harmonious inner world, but also because you now are available to feeling. You're available to life to move through you. And I can't like just begin to describe how much power there is in feeling. Like, energetically, if you think about it, if there's a big wave on the ocean and you're just trying to press it down, like, no, don't be felt. You see how much energy you're just trying to push down or deny or not have there. But what if you can be there while that emotion just energetically moves through you? That is an immense like power. And that is your power. That is you as life itself, and we keep denying it. We keep saying it makes us weak when it's the other way around. So softening enough so that this can move through you, you will have an experience of just power. That's why I call it like rise in the power of feeling. Stand in the truth that feeling is power. And again, want to come experience this and practice the embodied skills, come to the free class on Sunday. Okay? And even if you're listening to this on Sunday or Monday and it's already passed, sign up and the recording will be available for a few days. So for me on my own journey, this experience of feeling just keeps deepening. It's an experience of connecting energetically with the world, with different types of consciousness. And it has a very kind of mystical, magical quality to it when I'm not trying to label all of it and try to have it make sense or have a meaning. Oh, this means that I should go talk to this person or whatever it is. I don't know. Can I be in the unknown about this and just let this, can I have this experience without running off with it somewhere else? Can I be with it? So at a certain level, it's really like mastering energy to feel, to fully, fully feel things. And now you can start playing with that and moving that energy. So those are some different levels, right, of a mature relationship with feeling that is on the other side of believing those old lies of what feeling emotions are. So I hope that this has been helpful. I hope that it has made you reflect a little bit on your own relationship with it and hopefully been inspired to to go on this adventure to really connect with your emotions in a different way, not just out of necessity, I guess I should, or someone told me in a past relationship that I'm bad at feeling, or whatever it is, or I feel too much, and therefore I should fix this. No, walk into this, like, uncharted territory as a beautiful opportunity to get to know a part of you that hasn't been so known, to learn new skills, to do it out of love rather than scarcity. And of course, if you are a woman or non-binary and you want to come to our amazing retreat in Spain at the end of May, then this is what we're going to do. It's really about rising in that power of feeling and really finding your power everywhere where it's been lies, and really use what used to look like your problems and your shortcomings and your weaknesses and your brokenness, and really turn them into gold, really bringing the love there. And we'll explore just sisterhood and feeling the power of being surrounded by other women as well. Maybe that has been conflicting for you, or not felt safe, or maybe even neutral, but really finding the power in that. And it's such an amazing experience to do this in person, right? In the flesh. And to go away from your everyday life for a week and just put your full attention here. And I call this retreat The Calling, because I think you know if there's more of you. Like, maybe you've been playing small. Maybe you've been believing the lies of what you should be and should feel. And it's time to reclaim that power and really step into your full expression and let life take you there, wherever that is, without needing to know. But if you're longing, if you can feel that calling somewhere in the fiber of your being, in your heart, in your soul, like, is it time to answer it? And start really walking a different path, disconnected from the matrix and plugged into life itself instead. That is what The Calling retreat is all about. And now during January, there is an early bird price. So if you sign up before the end of January, you're saving $200. And you don't have to pay it all at once. All you need to do is pay a deposit on $400, and so that you reserve your spot. And that deposit is almost, I think it's like 90-95% refundable until the end of February. So you can also just like lock in that price, that early bird price, and then have some time to process it or think about the practical aspects of it. So just letting you know that that beautiful opportunity is happening in Spain at the end of May, and you're so, so welcome. I would love to see you there. And if you need a little more sense of what we're going to do, then come join us for the free session on Sunday, and I can also answer any questions you have about The Calling retreat. Okay, thank you for listening. I hope this was helpful, and so much love to you.
Thank you for listening. And if this was helpful to you, I appreciate a review in the podcast app that you're using. Until next week.